Okie dokie. Ingrid, so the special occasions for the Om Ahum meditation, well, this is a way of blessing our body, speech and mind. Blessing our body, speech and mind, the Om Ahum meditation, it's a way of invigorating our subtle nervous system. The purpose of it is to cleanse our body, speech and mind, and to strengthen our positive traits and characteristics of body, speech and mind. And this quote from Lama Yeshe, I also read it last week, but it's a really nice one and it sets the scene. So the scene is, without understanding how your inner nature evolves, how can you possibly discover eternal happiness? Where is eternal happiness? It's not in the sky or in the jungle or in the city. You won't find it in the air or under the ground. Everlasting happiness is within you, within your psyche, your consciousness, your mind. That's why it's important that you investigate the nature of your own mind. So by doing these meditations, it's a way of becoming familiar about the nature of our mind and then invigorating that, harmonizing our body, speech and mind with enlightened body, speech and mind. Now also to set the scene, I'm going to run a poll. I like running these little polls as a way of setting our motivation for the night. So here's the poll. Hopefully you can see it, but I'll read it out just in case. So the question is, what's your main purpose for being here today? So just taking a moment to focus on which of these four motivations is the main one for you. So the first one, I'm here to benefit all sentient beings in all six realms. The second one, I'm here to develop some inner peace and calm. Third, I'm here because there's someone I really want to help or someone I really need to help. And four, I'm here to become the best human being I can. So, of course, there's no right or wrong answer. They're just different scopes of the answer, aren't they? And some of them will resonate, will be more realistic with where we are up to now. You might find that they change over time. So let's see. It seems like everybody has voted, because I know a couple of the participants are here on two devices, one for sound and one for vision. So let's have a look. 6 out of 7 have voted. Working your way up. Okay, good on you, Jane. I'm going to end the polling and share the results. And the results, the clear winner, number 4, I'm here to become the best human being I can. That is a great place to start. It's, you know, starting with recognizing what a fortunate human life we have, that we have all this untapped potential, unrecognized potential. Wow, if we can work on that, we can become the best human being very quickly. Close contenders, I'm here to benefit all sentient beings in all six realms without exception. Fantastic. And I'm here to get some inner peace and calm. Well, we need that, because how can we benefit anyone if we aren't peaceful and calm ourselves? Okie dokie. So it's a nice way of setting our motivation. And with this in mind, just thinking about the different scope, the reasons why we're here, let's do the first meditation. So this meditation is a simple one, first settling the posture, then the mind, and then a really nice version of the 9-round breathing. Let's start by settling the posture. What we want to do is achieve a nice balance between putting some effort into keeping our back straight so that our posture feels alert, then our mind is likely to follow. But also, not just being straight, also being relaxed and comfortable. And we need to have a balance between the two. So first, putting a little bit of the effort into our posture. And how to straighten the spine without strain, without it being uncomfortable or rigid, is to imagine a fine thread of light running from the base of your spine up through your body and out the crown of your head, and very gently being pulled upwards from your crown. So every time that you breathe in, just gently feel your posture extend upwards, the spine naturally becoming aligned. You might find that you sit a little bit back. Have your shoulders pulled back a little bit so the whole chest and heart area is open. And if you feel that you're being supported from your crown, you'll notice that your head just slightly tilts forward and tuck the chin in. And especially if you've had a tiring day, feel the weight of your body is supported by this golden thread. Feel any subtle movements that you need to make, that you're not tipping to one side or the other. And once your spine is straight and aligned, then let your shoulders drop. Let go of the tension from the neck and the shoulders. Because your spine is supported, now the rest of your body can relax. Feel the tension just flowing down from the neck, along the shoulders, down the arms, out the tips of the fingers. Just releasing all of that tension. And if it's comfortable, have your hands in the lap, right palm on top of left, with the thumbs lightly touching. Relax all the muscles of the jaw. Have your teeth just slightly apart. A slight smile on your lips. And rest the tongue on the upper palate behind the top teeth. Again, checking that your chin isn't jutted out, but that your head's just slightly tilted forward. Chin in. Try and have your eyes slightly open, so a sliver of light comes in, but very relaxed, releasing any tension from the eyes, the frown lines, the temples, letting the eyelids relax. If you leave the eyelids open just slightly with some light coming in, then it reduces the tendency towards sleepiness. It's not that we're looking at anything. Actually, we're probably just looking at the edge of our eyelids. But even so, our focus is inwards. Feel that you relax your vision, that it can encompass the whole 180 degrees. Unfocused, relaxed. Gently shift your attention to the breath, the gentle rising and falling of the breath, either at the chest or the abdomen. And let your breathing naturally become slower and deeper without forcing it, just letting the body breathe itself. And from this relaxed but alert state, ready to engage in the meditation, take a moment to set your motivation, the internal posture. Why are we here? What is our purpose? Yes, of course, we want peace and calm. That's our immediate concern. We can extend this out to be a profound purpose, not just a temporary peace and calm, but lasting peace, complete liberation from all of the internal disturbances. Complete inner freedom. Free not just of external problems, but free of our bondage to fear and anxiety, free of all the causes of suffering. This can be our purpose. And we can extend it even further by thinking, if we ourselves become calmer, kinder, happier human beings, becoming the best human being that we can, we'll be able to create a better world. We'll be able to naturally help others. And we don't have to stop at the limitations of what a human being can achieve. Those are artificial limitations. Actually, the best human being that we can be is to become a Buddha. That is possible. So that can be our ultimate purpose. Everything that we do can go towards that aim. Why anything less? And if we do that, we'll be able to help everybody. All that incredible suffering in the world, we'll be able to help. So how can we do this? We need the help of those who've gone before. We need the help of the enlightened beings, the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. We need the help of all the love and compassion of our friends and our teachers and our family. So imagine all of the goodness, kindness and love in the world enveloping you like a great aura of light. The love that your family feels for you, how they care about you, imagine it as golden light surrounding you. The love that your pets feel for you and the devotion, how much joy they have in seeing you, feel that as light surrounding you. The love and the compassion of everybody in the world who is working for the benefit of others. Whether it's trying to change legislation to become more fair and just, whether it's working to find a vaccine, whether it's serving us at the supermarket, all of that care, concern, feel that kindness and that compassion as light surrounding you. All the care and love of all the mothers, wherever they are in the world, that they have for their children, feel that surrounding you as light. and feel the love and the wisdom of all the Buddhas surrounding you as infinite radiance. Their sole care and concern is for our benefit. Feel that love as an atmosphere surrounding you as light. You're completely enveloped in this blissful light. And now imagine that you breathe in through your right nostril all of this love and light. And it fills your whole body. And as you breathe out through your left nostril, and you breathe out all of the doubts and the worries and the unhappiness in the form of black smoke. You expel it like expelling pollution. So do this for a few breaths in imagination, at least for 3 breaths, nice, long, deep, unhurried breaths. In through the right nostril, all the love and the radiance and the wisdom. It fills you up and it pushes out all of those negativities, all the disturbing states of mind and emotion as black smoke pollution that leaves your body forever. And now we'll swap the nostrils over, and this time breathing in through the left nostril, all that warmth and radiance, the universal love and compassion, all the blissful wisdom of the Buddhas. Breathe it in the form of golden light that as you do it fills your body, every atom of your body becoming more and more radiant. Absorbing all of those qualities, all of that love. And as that light fills you, it pushes out all of the darkness and negativity. You breathe out through the left nostril, all the disturbing emotions, all the confused states of mind, all the negative thoughts and feelings that plague us. In the form of black smoke, we expel it like pollution leaving a chimney. So do this for several breaths, at least 3, long, leisurely breaths. And then breathing in through both nostrils. Feel the enlightened energy, the love, the compassion, the wisdom flowing through you as you breathe in through both nostrils. Feel it flowing through your whole body. More and more light filling you up, becoming more and more radiant. So your whole body is glowing, clean, clear. So filled with this radiance of enlightened energy that there's nowhere for the negativities to be, and they're pushed upwards and outwards, and you breathe them out through both nostrils, even the very subtle ones. You might find that the smoke is beginning to be a little bit thinner, a little less black, maybe a bit more like mist or fog. Breathe out even the very subtle negativities. All the afflictive states of mind, the bad habits, the confusions, the doubts, they're completely pushed up and outwards by this radiant, enlightened energy. So again, three nice, long, leisurely breaths in through both nostrils, out through both nostrils, at least three times. And as you're breathing out the smoke, it becomes thinner and thinner till you find that you're breathing in and breathing out clear radiance. There is no outer and inner anymore. Just a very fine membrane between the inner space of light and clarity and surrounding you, light and clarity. Just breathing in and breathing out that enlightened radiance. No artificial distinctions between inner and outer, or self and other. Your whole experience, radiance and clarity. And recognize this as your nature. No different from the Buddha's nature. And then to end this first meditation, we can dedicate the effort and the energy and the benefit of this meditation for our own liberation and freedom from suffering in all of its causes, for our own fulfillment of our potential to become a Buddha for the benefit of all, and dedicate so that we can perfectly, effortlessly help every single living being in the best possible way out of suffering and into this natural state of enlightenment. And then in your own time, you can slowly open your eyes if they're closed, bring your focus back to the room, move your posture if you need to. So I hope you enjoyed that meditation, a little bit of an extended version of the 9-round breathing. If you have any questions or comments, we have time to address those. I also have a couple of readings that I can do if we have no burning questions. I'm just wondering which one to read. Let me have a look. Pride, where does it come from and why? Yes, that's a good question. So pride comes from the fundamental ignorance that we have about misunderstanding the nature of our identity, of who we are, of what we can become. And it comes from grasping at a self that does not exist in the way that we think it does. So we have this idea of who we are, and it's mistaken. Everything about us that we think is us, the essence of me, is actually circumstantial and subject to change. And yet we grasp onto it in a panic and hold onto it of this is me. And not only that, but then we want others to recognize this is me as well. So pride, the level that we understand that at first, is pretty much from experiencing the symptoms of pride, which are: we know we have pride if we're easily intimidated, if we're shy, if we can't bear there being daggy photos of us out there. If we absolutely cannot stand people misunderstanding us, if we crave for the acknowledgement of others, all of those are symptoms of having pride, of grasping at a self as if it was the real me, the essence of me. And because it isn't, no matter how tightly we grasp, we're not going to feel the benefits of knowing who we are, of confidence, of open-heartedness. We just grasp, self-grasping. So a slightly more subtle level of that we know is egocentricity, where everything's centered around us. We think our experience is the real experience, how we view the world, all of our assumptions and projections, they're all part of egocentricity. We don't even know we have them. But everything's focused around us, and we have this idea, this is me. And that's not really a problem unless me is threatened or misunderstood, and then whoa. So a lot of our pride is because we base our sense of worth by our reflection from others. And so if we don't get a nice reflection back, if we don't get the support that we need, if we don't get the encouragement that we crave for, we start feeling demoralized about ourselves. that is also associated with pride, because it's to do with self-grasping. It's craving for this external validation and grasping at all of those things that are in flux within us that always change as being the real me. So you can see it's deadly, isn't it? It results in its opposite. We don't feel good about ourselves. We have this terrible, it's irony, really, that we want to feel special. We want to stand out from a crowd and be special and feel puffed up about how we're special in this way or better in this way or better looking or better spoken or better educated, whatever it is. And the moment we feel special, what pride does, now we are separated from others. So, yeah, we're special, but now we're lonely. Now we're different. And for a moment we might have felt all puffed up in comparison, but now we're in comparison. And so now we're easily intimidated and now it has to be maintained and we have to keep building our status up so we feel better, because it just ebbs away, doesn't it? The good puffed up feeling ebbs away. So it becomes this vicious circle. So pride comes from a mistake, and the mistake is self-grasping. And self-grasping comes from ignorance. We just don't know better. We just go for the easiest thing that looks the most obvious, and it's just wrong. So it trips us up. It's one of the hardest ones to, the egocentric pride is the hardest one to remove, because its genealogy goes all the way to self-grasping and that fundamental ignorance. But the other prides, social prides, pretentiousness, arrogance, vanity, all of those, we can recognize quite easily and do something about them. And what we can do instead is develop appreciation. So many of you said the motivation today was to become the best human being that you can. So that's really appreciating what our potential is, what our qualities are. And if we appreciate them, it doesn't separate us from others. It draws us closer, because we share. Whatever qualities we recognize in ourselves, if we're patient, for instance, or if we have a degree of tolerance, and we appreciate that, we appreciate the effort that goes into it, then when other people do, we also have an appreciation of them. So if you have good skills, instead of making it as therefore I'm better than you, therefore I'm a better human being than you, just because I'm better at doing something. An appreciation instead of pride is going, wow, I'm, say, for instance, really good at crochet. That doesn't make me all haughty. It just makes me want to share. Anybody else want to know about crochet? I'm really happy to share. So other people that love crochet, they're right into it. If you're not into crochet, it's like, oh, give me a break. But if you appreciate your qualities, then naturally you're open about it. Then the more that other people have can develop those same qualities, the better you feel. So it's a real opposite to pride. So the definition of pride is a puffed up feeling of superiority that separates you from others. And how it comes about is because we recognize a difference between us, say, you're better looking, and then we put a value judgment on it, therefore you're a better person. Instead of just recognizing it as a fact, some people are better looking and some people are less good looking, but doesn't make you a better human being or a lesser human being. So, it's quite a tricky one. We've got to whittle away at the edges. And like this meditation that we just did, how many of us identify with our Buddha potential, with that potential that we have for enlightenment? So not some superstitious thing, but recognizing the nature of our mind, it's naturally clear, its nature is to know. Now, if we really appreciated that, we'd never feel down on ourselves. If that's what we recognize as who we are, that's not what makes us different from others. That's what we have in common with everybody. So it's quite a different approach. It's not pride. But we don't recognize that, do we? We don't hold on to that. Oh, that's right. I'm a potential Buddha, so I don't have to get upset, or I don't have to get intimidated, or I can work this out, or I do have tolerance and patience and all of those things. We don't identify with our potential Buddhahood. So I was saying in this morning's class, you know, we can often say, oh, I'm so anxious, or I'm so depressed. But hardly ever do we say, I am a budding Buddha undergoing anxiety. So what we grasp at as our identity, it's always a mistake. And so it always brings suffering. It's better if we're more realistic. And the biggest realistic view is recognize you are a budding Buddha undergoing anxiety, or a budding Buddha undergoing depression or a problem. That is the most realistic way to look at a situation. And, you know, it gives you then infinite scope to work. So all of these different attitudes, can you see how we grasp at them? That's why it's called self-grasping, because we grasp at something, we hold on to it like a life raft. And if we're holding on to something that is a mistake, no wonder we get into difficulties. So thank you, Uri. Great question, and really timely, because we've been talking about this in the Easy Habits for Happiness course that we've just been running in the last few weeks on a Thursday morning. Okay. And Dan, question, is there any connection or relation between the four elements, earth, air, water, and fire, and meditation? Yes, there is, Dan. So in the olden days, the elements used to be called, you know, the alchemists talked about the elements, and sometimes it's earth and air and fire and water, and other times they talked about the different temperaments, whether you're a phlegm temperament or a bile temperament or a this or a that. So it's different kind of ways of seeing what constitutes our makeup of a human being. From a scientific point of view, we kind of say, oh, we're made up of elements like carbon and oxygen and hydrogen and the heavy earths and all of these, you know, the minerals and things like that. So that's a scientific view of the elements that make us up. And on a more subtle level, we have those elements. So, for instance, the fire element, it's to do with heat. So everything in our body that creates heat is part of the fire element. And heat has warmth and movement. So digestion, that's part of heat, isn't it? Because it's warmth and movement. When our body warms up from when we're cold, that's the heat element. And it's upwards rising like heat is. Water, the water element in our body is all of the H2O, wherever it is, in our blood and our muscles and our fluids in our body. And it has the characteristic of movement as well, and wet, not of heat, but of wetness, moisture. So it softens things. So we kind of use those terms to recognize these characteristics in our body, and then the more subtle characteristics in our subtle nervous system. So we might later on, next week, Dan, I'll bring the four elements meditation, and we can do that as our first meditation, because it's great to recognize those different characteristics all at play and how they're all just an expression of energy. In a way, they all meld into each other because they are all energy, but it's a way of distinguishing one flavor from another, and they each have different functions, and we need them all to be in balance. And if they're not in balance, then our body gets sick, and emotionally we become strained. So I'm going to write that down. So I remember the four elements meditation. It's a great meditation. So thank you. And as an introduction to this next meditation, the Om Ahum cleansing meditation. So we can. I'll just say a little bit about it, and then we'll actually get into the meditation, because I said a bit about it last week. So we're blessing the three places, Om, Ah, and Hum. And when we chant those syllables, it is actually all three, body, speech, and mind, working together. Because hopefully when you're doing this meditation with me, you can chant, and you can chant loudly. It's really important that you do, because you feel the resonance physically in your body. Your body starts resonating. Your whole chest and torso and your head becomes like a resonant cavity, like you become a cello. And that changes your nervous system. It changes you physically, that resonance. And last week someone mentioned it's like our body becomes like a singing bowl. So singing bowls can help you tune your body as well. But this way we can do it with chanting. We're like in our own internal singing bowl. So that kind of resonance is very healing. Also with the breath, so when we're breathing, the sound is coming out through our throat, so we're using our speech. And breath is this very subtle demarcation between spaciousness, between speech and our body. Because there's a sound, and we are literally breathing it in and out by chanting it. So we're embodying that sound. So it's right on the edge between speech and form, is this chanting with the air coming in and leaving our throat. So when we're chanting the hum at the heart, the whole body fills with that resonance. And it should be just as nice as when you're holding a cat and the cat is purring. And how nice that is. So you feel that resonance through your whole body. With the ah, one of the ladies who is a speech pathologist told me that when you say the word ah, it actually opens up your throat, and it moves the same muscles as when you smile. So physiologically, when you move those muscles, it tricks your brain into thinking you're happy and that you're open-hearted just by singing ah, opening up the throat, using those muscles in that way. Neurologically, it makes you feel open and happy. And then the om in the head, that resonates in the whole the cavernous kind of within our skull. That's really like the temple bell, isn't it? And because all of our senses are based there in our head, sight, sound, touch, taste, everything there, and the brain in our head, it's like it works right with the demarcation of those senses, the base of the senses. So let's see, all three work together. And when we're chanting, what I'd like you to do is to feel the resonance in all the three places. So we'll focus on one at a time, and then at the end we'll do all three. And you'll be able to notice whether one is predominant and stronger than the others. And this will just give you an indication of where your natural kind of focus is, or maybe where you're over-focused. Because actually all three places should do the same amount of work. All three places should be able to resonate with the same strength, and When we're chanting, we're not just chanting from the throat, we're not straining our throat, but we're letting it resonate in our head and through our whole body experience, and then that becomes our whole mind experience. So equal amount of work. And by doing this practice physically, using our speech, it changes our mind. All three together. So I'll put up the screen share now to help us with the syllables, with the color and the shape. So this image comes from a painting by Andy Weber. So the Om, the white Om, the red R, and the blue Hum, they're written in the Tibetan. And you see them like this, standing up upright, made of light. And about that size, not enormous, quite small and delicate. And as the script is written, you can kind of see that they might flicker and move, just like a gas flame flickers and moves. So do these, because these syllables, they're alive. Their energy. This image of Lama Yeshe meditating in that beautiful meditation posture, alert, centered, relaxed. So we can emulate this too. The Om and the Ah and the Hum there. So Lama Yeshe, you can see how the posture is very contained. It's strong, but it's relaxed. So let's adjust our posture again for the meditation, our physical posture. See if we can mirror Lama Yeshe's pose for the meditation. Back straight, body relaxed. Hands in the lap, right palm on top of left with the thumbs lightly touching. Elbows a little out from the torso. Head just slightly forward. Tongue on the upper palate behind the top teeth. Eyes lightly closed. And remembering our purpose, our motivation, this meditation a lot more than just developing peace and calm, but harmonizing our body, speech and mind with the enlightened energy, enlightened body, speech and mind, so we can develop those qualities, bring them to fruition, to bring ultimate benefit to ourselves and all others. Now let's focus on these three syllables appearing as syllables upright, made of light within our body. So in the center of your head, a radiant white Om. Not outside your head, but in the center of your skull. Blissful, radiant white light. At your throat, in the middle of your throat, glowing red syllable R. And at your heart area, so in the center of your chest, in the center of your torso, a beautiful glowing blue Hum. The light, very bright like neon, but not harsh, soft. Even if you can't see the details, know that these three syllables are there, the seeds of enlightened body, speech and mind. Just like we have the elements of the periodic table written like H2O, So these are the elements of enlightenment written. Now shift your focus to the white Om in the center of your head and recognize that this white Om is the pure divine body of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, of purified physicality, the pure energy of enlightened form. It's making its own sound, Om. And it's radiating white light that flows through your whole body, through all of your channels, through your veins and your arteries, through your nervous system. This blissful white light, until your whole body becomes radiant. And as this white light flows through you, it cleanses or purifies all of the illnesses and discomfort in your body, all of the negative actions that you've done with your body, all of the karmic seeds purified. It purifies all physical behavior, all addictions and compulsions washed clean. And it purifies all of the negative attitudes you might have towards your body. Feel your whole body filled from top to toe with blissful, radiant, white light energy. So please join in at any time with chanting the Om, feeling the sound and the blissful white light flowing through you. Om. Om. remaining perfectly still, fully aware, with all your attention on the light consciousness, the white Om, in the center of your head. The Om still emanating the sound, the light filling your whole body. You are this resonance of Om. You are the white Om. Be intensely aware and let go. Without any distraction or sluggishness, intensive awareness and letting go. Feel your whole body radiant with a white light energy. All of the negative actions associated with the body completely cleansed and purified. Your body filled with blissful white light. And now gently shifting your focus to the red R in the center of your throat. It's radiant like the sun at sunset. Blissful warmth, radiance, red light. Feel your body. Recognize that this red R is the pure speech of the Buddhas. It is making its own sound, ah, that resonates through your whole body. And as this enlightened red light energy fills your body, flowing through all of your subtle channels, through all the blood, your body becomes radiant with this red light energy, limitless energy like the sun. And as this red warmth fills you, all the impure conceptions and energy of speech are completely cleansed and purified. All the harm we've ever done with our speech, all the destructive speech patterns, all the internal dialogue, all that uncontrolled, negative, harmful speech, completely cleansed and purified. And as we chant the R together, it literally harmonizes your speech with enlightened speech. The resonance of this R and the red light energy filling your whole body harmonizes your speech. It pulls you into the harmony of the speech of the Buddhas. Ah. Just be without expectation in a state of intense awareness, stable awareness. The sound ah permeating your whole experience, the red light energy filling your whole body. Don't feel that you're looking down at the ah. But your whole consciousness is the red R, radiating this radiant, stable clarity and intense consciousness. Feel the resonance continue in your nervous system, the red light energy filling your whole body. All negative speech completely purified. And now gently shifting your focus to your heart, to the radiant blue hum there in the center of your torso. Recognize that this blue hum is the non-dual wisdom of all the Buddhas. The blue light energy radiating outwards, filling your whole body. The humming sound of the hum filling your whole experience, like the hum, the pulse of the universe. The blue light, like deep, unobstructed space, the blue light energy becoming your whole experience, with no room for any dualistic concepts. As the sound of the hum and the infinite blue light fill your consciousness, your body, your consciousness embraces entire universal reality. As the blue light energy radiates in all directions without limit, as the sound fills all of space, so does your awareness encompass all of reality. Oh. Just feel and be, without expectation, the limitless clarity, your intensive awareness, without obstruction, infinite, clear, blissful. Feel the sound continue to radiate throughout space. And as it does, so too does your awareness expand. Recognize this as the pure nature of your mind. This is your nature. Then once again, becoming aware of all three syllables, now radiant and energized within your body. The white Om in the center of your head, the red R at your throat, the blue Hum in your heart. So we can chant all three syllables, our body, speech, and mind in harmony, in concert. Om Avo. Om Avo. Om Avo. Om 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 Om. We're feeling the continued radiance of these three syllables that are always there within us. Whether we are aware of them or not, they are our potential. Feel them now energized like a tuning fork with enlightened body, speech, and mind, empowered, and dedicate the efforts of this meditation to everything in our life being harmonized like this with enlightened actions, enlightened communication, enlightened thoughts and feelings of spontaneous love and compassion and wisdom. And dedicate the benefit, the effort, the good-heartedness of this meditation to being able to remember this all the time, to act as if we were a Buddha, to care for others with our body, speech, and mind, to have them continuously harmonizing our life and those around us. And that by doing this meditation, we can bring them these seeds of enlightenment to fruition and become a Buddha for the benefit of all. Then you can gently bring your focus back to the room. Open your eyes if they're closed. And I hope you enjoyed the meditation and that you can make it as a bridge to bring into your day-to-day life for the coming week, and that it can become a natural habit that we remember these three syllables there, radiant, glowing, resonant within us. So thank you very much, everybody, for coming, and hope you had a wonderful time.